It is so good to have you with us again this Sunday morning and have the privilege to come into your homes and spend this half hour with you. We hope that you have your Bibles and will have them ready and open, if you will, to the Gospel of John chapter 3. Now, as we go through this in a survey form, we of course do not have time to amplify upon every portion of Scripture or every verse. Since it is a survey form, we're just going to emphasize the parts of surveying John here that we feel are the most important to give you an overall emphasis of the book. Now, we will take out the various miracles and say words upon them and apply them as we feel God would have us to do here, what application they will have. But on the whole, we are not going to take every verse, so bear with us there, and I believe it will be beneficial to get the overall look of the book. Now, we're over here to John chapter 3, a very familiar passage here of Scripture, especially to those that have been brought up in Sunday school and church, because in the 16th verse, God tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, as we begin here in John chapter 3, there are two things that we would like to emphasize and speak at a little bit of length upon. Number one, we would like to discuss the fact of Nicodemus, a very religious man, and yet Nicodemus was lost. He was blinded to spiritual things, although he was very religious. This could be your position and condition of someone listening today. You may have attended church all of your life, and yet you might be religious, but you do not have the peace of God by knowing personally the Lord Jesus Christ. You're religious, but sad to say, you do not have the assurance of everlasting life. The second portion we would like to emphasize is sort of doctrinally. What does it mean to be born again? Now notice here, if you will, let us go on down in the conversation with Nicodemus. We find in chapter 3 here that the Lord says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, and when you see that in the Bible, it simply means something like they did in England, hearken, hearken, the king's about to speak. Well, here it says, Verily, verily, Jesus Christ, our King, is about to speak. It means actually just stand up and take notice, because what follows is very important. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again here literally means born from above. In the original, I would mark this in my Bible, it means born up from above. It does not mean born from my mother's womb again. It does not mean that. And many times, if you were to ask, and I do this periodically, and it's very interesting to get some of the definitions of what being born again means. Now, during a few years ago, President Carter came out. He was born again. Pretty soon, everybody was coining the phraseology, I'm born again. When you would ask someone, what do you mean, born again? It was amazing some of the definitions that people came up with of what they thought being born again was. Some said, well, born again means a Christian. Well, how do you get born again? Well, I don't know, but it means a Christian. Well, we're going to discuss what born again really means. Very simple, nothing complicated whatsoever, and to see what it means. So, let us begin here, if you will, and go here, and we're going to discuss this morning here the point of what born again means. What does it mean to be cleansed, except you're born of the water and of the Spirit? You cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Go down with me now to verse 5, and let's begin to read. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, or enter into the kingdom of God. Now, something interesting we would like to point out here. Since in order to enter the kingdom of God in verse 5, you must be born of the water and the Spirit, notice here in verse 3, the last line, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God here in both places is the end result of what you do. So, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, must be the same thing as being born from above. So, born again literally means you're born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, to enter the kingdom of God. Now, God uses various things referring to our everlasting life. He could say, you enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, or you have everlasting life, or so forth. To get an actual commentary upon these two verses right here, what does it mean to be born again? We do have in verse 5, it means that you're born of the water, you're born of the Spirit. Then does that mean that you're born again? Absolutely. Then what do I do? All right, the best commentary in the world is the Word of God itself. Don't go to somebody and ask them what their opinion is, but read the Bible, and most often in the context you will find out it will be self-explanatory. If we go right on over now, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, told him, except you be born again, and this in the original now means born from above. Then in verse 5 we have the specifics. Born from above means you're born of the water and of the Spirit. Now we're going to see what that consists of here in just a second. Notice here, if you will, talking about the end result or your everlasting life, let's see if we can get another terminology that means the same thing. Now notice here in verse 16, if you will, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now everlasting life is equivalent to cannot see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And here in verse 16, everlasting life is equivalent here to entering the kingdom of God. And here it says all you have to do is believe. So evidently we have three terminologies here that all mean the same thing, and they do, and they are just different terminologies. Now notice, born of the water and of the Spirit. If that is incorporated in the word believe, then what in the world does it mean to be born of the water and of the Spirit? Now, knowing that born of the water and the Spirit is incorporated into being born from above or born again is exactly the same thing as believeth in him, then what is this water and this Spirit? Now, before we get into that, let us go on down here in verse 17 and find out. Being born again just simply means you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that it means. Born from above. The reason it means born from above is, and that's the way it reads in the original, is salvation is from above. It is all of God and not of man. It is given to man as a gift, but man does nothing to purchase it. Therefore, being born from above means that God from above sent his Son, and God in here in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave or sent his only begotten Son. And he did that to die upon the cross. So salvation is from above, and except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That does not mean being born from below. That does not mean being born again by yourself. But born again is born from above. Simply means, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He belongs to me. Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice in verse 17 now, we're in the same chapter now. Now, God is not telling you two or three ways to get to heaven. He's saying, this is only one way to get to heaven. When I say believe in Christ, it is the same thing as saying, I have been born from above, or the same thing as saying, I have been born of the water and of the Spirit. We shall see what that is in just a second. Now in verse 17, God sent his Son into the world, sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, and the reason for that is, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were already condemned, but the world through him might be saved. Now in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now here's another end result of our believing in Christ. One end result is we have everlasting life. Another terminology is we shall see the kingdom of God. Another terminology to the same thing is we are not condemned. All three mean the same thing. We're not going to hell. But we have everlasting life. We have a home in heaven. We shall enter the kingdom of God. We are not condemned. All of these are descriptive of the final end of our state by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us go back here, if you will, to verse 5 and begin to find out, because so many things have been taken out of context concerning this. So let us go back here to verse 5 again and see what it means by the word water and the Spirit. Now we find out here in the book of Romans that the Bible tells us here, he that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. So we must have the Holy Spirit of God. Now, hold your place here and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians here, if you will, and we find out here that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God simultaneously upon belief. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye have also trusted, after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It is given upon belief. So unless you have the Spirit of God, you are none of His. Unless you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, you do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you must have the Spirit. Except a man be born from above, that is, born of the water and of the Spirit, then he is none of His. Now, let us go on over here, if you will, and begin to look here in the same gospel here now, in the Gospel of John. Let us go here to chapter 15 and notice here in verse 3, where we have a phraseology that is used here. In John chapter 15, notice here, if you will, in verse 3. It says here, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now, knowing here that except you're born of the water, we find out here this is not water baptism. It is not the water. Now, there are some that go this far and say that, well, it's the water that surrounds the baby in the mother's womb. Now, it would seem sort of ridiculous for Christ to say to the people or to Nicodemus standing there, "Hey, Nicodemus, unless you're born, you cannot be saved," if it's referring to the water around the baby in the womb, when Nicodemus is already standing there to refer back, "Hey, Nicodemus, unless you were born, you can't be saved." And there are some go as far as to pull this out and say it's the water in the mother's womb surrounding the baby. There couldn't be anything any more absurd. Now, to say that it's water baptism, if it would be water baptism, then Jesus Christ turned right around in the same chapter and lied to somebody else, because he said over here in John 3:16, "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," and it does not say "believe in him and is baptized," should not perish but have everlasting life. He said over here, all you have to do is believe. He went right on down in verse 18 and said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, not he that believeth and is baptized." So there is only one way to heaven. In John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except through the Son." Therefore, since there's only one way to heaven, Jesus Christ did not tell Nicodemus one way and come right on over here in the 16th, 17th, and 18th verse and tell somebody else a different way to get to heaven. "Seeing the kingdom of God, everlasting life, shall not perish, but have everlasting life." All of these are terminologies that mean exactly the same thing. Enter the kingdom of God means exactly as everlasting life. Both are descriptive of the end result of our faith in Christ. So, we eliminate just by comparing Scripture with Scripture. This water is not water baptism. This water is not the water around the baby's womb. Well, then what is this water? John chapter 15. Let's go over there and read it one more time and let Scripture interpret Scripture. In John chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Other words, except you are born of the water and of the Spirit, the water is the word. And we find out here in Romans chapter 8, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans chapter 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then here in John chapter 15, verse 3, it tells us here, "You are clean through this word which you've heard, and I've spoken unto you." Thus, the same terminology over here, John 3:5, "Except you be born of the water, be born of the word of God, you and of the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of God." Now, for another description, let us go here, if you will, on back here to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Here we have the terminology again. It says back here, "being born again." Here we have the same thing as set up here in John. Literally means being born from above, not of corruptible seed, not of anything you can do, born of corruptible seed. As David said, "In my mother's womb I was conceived in iniquity. I have inherited the old sin nature. For as Adam has sinned, all have sinned." Maybe not after the same similitude as Adam, but death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even to those that had not sinned after the same similitude as Adam. Just as they hadn't all disobeyed God in the garden, but they still, that death sentence and that old nature and sin nature was passed from Adam and Eve on to Cain and Abel, right straight on down the line, and I got it through my parents, my parents got it through their parents, and we are not born again from above of any corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, what does it mean? by the incorruptible, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is in perfect harmony with what John chapter 3 teaches. It becomes very simple when we take nothing but the Word of God. In John 3:3, except a man be born again, literally means, just mark this down, born from above, because salvation is from above. It's not from you. You don't join a church to be saved. You don't go to the baptismal waters to be saved. You go there after you're saved. You go there as a testimony that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, rose again the third day, and when you're water baptized, it's your testimony. It doesn't wash away your sins, but it's an answer of a good conscience unto God. And that's why God wants us to be baptized. So here, the water is not referring to water baptism. It's not referring to the water around a child's womb. It would be absolutely ridiculous for God to say to Nicodemus, a requirement for you to be saved, Nicodemus, is the fact you've got to be born, when he's already standing there as a grown man. Now Nicodemus came unto him and asked him the question, and Christ was telling him how he got to heaven, how you would get there. You must be born from above. Other words, born from above is believing the record God gave of his Son. All of these are just used interchangeably. There's nothing complicated at all. Born from above means believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is the same as putting your trust in him, saved by grace through faith. And Christ over here, the best commentary upon John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, is found in John chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18, where it clarifies what he means by being born from above. Now, turn with me again and let us get another description here of speaking about the water used as the Word. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, hold your place and go over there with me, if you will. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's look here in verse 26. Now, he's talking about the church here, and he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. That's the church, every born-again believer, with the washing of the water by the Word. I don't know of anything that could be any cleaner, any plainer, any simpler than that. So when people say, hey, have you been born again? And I might suggest this. I think it's bad terminology to go around asking people if they've been born again. I think it's confusing. I think people do not understand the terminology. And I think we ought to use finesse. I think we ought to use common sense, the right approach, and get down to the basics of asking people if they know where they're going when they die. If not, let's eliminate confusing terminologies. And if we're going to use born again in John chapter 3, verse 3 and 3:5, why don't we go over and use John 3:16, where it says believe, and eliminate the confusion. Let me give you an example, if I may. Over in the book of Acts, and I wish you would take just a second and turn there with me in the few minutes that we have left. Over in Acts chapter 8, if you will, and I'm only saying this for this point, we sometimes cause more problems and are a hindrance to people getting saved because we use confusing terminology. I very seldom ever use born again when I can use terminology that a lost person understands. I don't use words like reconciliation, propitiation, things like that. I do not use words that are not understandable by a lost person. It's confusing to them. Use simple terminology. Will you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? That's a lot simpler to a lost person than saying, hey, will you be born again? Will you be born from above? And they're thinking, where'd this kook come from? Using terminology. What in the world is he even talking about? And I think we need to refrain from that and get down to the basics and use terminology that lost people can understand. Now, over here in Acts chapter 8, let us go here, if you will, in verse 37. Philip had been witnessing here to the eunuch, and Philip said, if thou believest, the eunuch had asked him, said, what hindereth me to be baptized? And he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now, many people, if you would stop right there and say, what do you mean believe with all of your heart? What does that mean? Does that mean give your heart to Jesus? Or what does it really mean? Well, let's read what believe with all of your heart really means. And when you get down to the simplicity of the Word of God, it is so simple, it's only when man gets a hold of it and preachers get a hold of it that it gets all twisted around and has a different meaning than what it does in the Word of God. It's so simple. Now let's look on down here, if you will, and notice here, he says, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stood still and went in the water and was baptized. Other words, believing with all of your heart simply meant he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And that meant that he was Christ in human flesh. He was the Messiah. And he died on the cross to pay for his sins. Believing with all of his heart simply meant, I have no reservations at all with inside of me that Jesus Christ died for me. That's simply what it means. We use many confusing terminologies. Let Jesus come into your heart. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible for salvation. Where does he go? Does he run around and hide somewhere? How do you know when he comes in? Well, you don't unless you have a feeling. Then your salvation's on a feeling and not on based upon the authentic Word of God. We've been coined, and we have coined phraseologies that are confusing to lost people. Let me say this to you this morning. If you're listening, maybe you don't know that you have eternal life. Well, you simply believe that Jesus Christ died for you, and he did. And when you put your trust in him, you have believed on him, and God said, that's the reason I sent my only begotten Son, that if you'll do that, believe on him, you'll never perish but have everlasting life. Then as you grow, you have been born from above. You have been born of the water and of the Spirit, because the minute you believe, God indwells you with the Holy Spirit of God, and you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Well, it's been so good to be with you. We'll concentrate next week on a religious man but lost. We hope you'll trust Christ. If you have any questions, please drop us a line.